You are listening to a Sunday sermon from St. Thomas Episcopal Church in Bellevue, Washington. We are a community that seeks God's presence, serves Christ and others, and grows together in faith. Welcome to our podcast. The following sermon was preached on the second Sunday of Advent, December 4th, 2016, by the Reverend Lex Breckenridge, rector at St. Thomas.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one to whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him, and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is laying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Well, these are some strange times we're living in, my dear sisters and brothers. I can't tell you how many people I've sat with in my office or over coffee or run into at QFC or bumped into around here who are feeling it. Sometimes the presenting issue is our recent contentious election and the fractured relationships that are being experienced. But you know, I think that's just a symptom of something deeper that's going on. The dis-ease that people are experiencing is about change. Change, of course, can be both positive or negative. The times, they are a-changing. That's the old civil rights era song written by our newest Nobel laureate, Bob Dylan. And it captured something very important and real about the mid-60s. Times were changing, and the old order was being asked to give way to a new one. Those lyrics also recognized a fundamental companion of change, turbulence. Change, whether positive, negative, or some combination of the two, is always accompanied by turbulence. Now, let's face it, turbulence creates anxiety. And anxiety often causes us to act out. Nerves get frayed, relationships become tense. We find ourselves saying and doing things that we wouldn't normally be saying or doing in more peaceful, less stressful times. So maybe we can lessen the anxiety and the acting out that the turbulence of change brings with it by reminding ourselves that change is constant. Every morning when we get out of bed, we'll encounter a world that's changed, and we'll also encounter a self that's changed. If in no other way than remembering that we have drawn another day closer to our deaths, another day closer to the exhaustion of our physical bodies. Now, wait a minute, you say, am I supposed to feel better that you remind me that every day is a day closer to my death? Well, it all depends on your perspective, doesn't it? We can either deny it and run away from it, or we can accept it and live in reality about our deaths. It's our choice. But whether we choose to live in denial or in acceptance, the fact that you and I will each eventually die is an unchangeable fact. So let's get at that on the table in this post-fact culture we seem to be living in. That's one fact you can bet your bottom dollar on. You ain't getting out of this one alive. You know, the real question isn't, will I live in this body and in this world forever? No, the answer to that is no. The real question, in fact, the most fundamental question you will ever encounter in your life is this. What am I going to do between this very moment and the moment of my death? As uncertain as the exact when of that might be. We hear the answer to that question this morning from a voice crying out in the wilderness 2,000 years ago. Repent, the kingdom of heaven has come near. This crazy, scary, bug-eyed guy from another time and another place has something of extreme urgency to tell us about life and death. The first step, the step that can't be avoided in our preparation for new life, is what I'm going to call the big life, is to repent. Now, repent is a funny word. We often associate it with TV preachers or gospel tent revivalists, and so we dismiss it. Or at best, we think it just means saying, I'm sorry. But sorry is just a start. The word that gets translated into English as repent is the Greek word metanoia. And it literally means to turn around. It's something dynamic. It's something that happens all the time. Turn your life around, the Baptist cries. Change your life. Move away from sleepwalking. Quit medicating yourself with whatever it is you're medicating yourself with. There's something in you, and something in me, and something in all of us that's waiting to be born. I don't care how old you are, there's something in you that's waiting to be born. What is it? You know, you probably already know, but maybe you just haven't said it out loud yet. Or you have said it out loud, but you haven't acted on it yet. I don't know what it is for you, but you do. You know, among the saddest words you could ever speak with your dying breath would be, if only I had. If only I had done what I really felt called to do. If only I'd been more conscious and intentional about nurturing and deepening my relationships with my family, with my friends, with my community. If only I'd been brave enough to stand up when I saw injustice. If only I'd been humble enough to admit my mistakes and my brokenness and to make amends. There's an old lawyer joke. You will never hear a lawyer say on her or his deathbed, gee, I wish I'd put a few more hours on my timesheet. That's an if only you'll never hear. So my dear friends, today is the day. This is the moment. It's given to very few of us to know how much time we have left between now and the hour of our death. So get started. You don't have a minute to lose. How will you begin to change your life so you won't find yourself at the hour of your death filled with regret about lost chances and missed opportunities and unfulfilled dreams? Repent! Turn around. That's living the big life. And it's the big life that continues on after the death of our own physical bodies. It's the big life that God wants for you and that you want for yourself. the big life, the kingdom of heaven that the Baptist is going on and on and on about is right here, right now. Now, here's another related piece for us to consider in these turbulent times of change, times that are as turbulent as those the Baptist lived in. The Baptist called for his listeners to bear fruit worthy of repentance. Another way of putting that is, be the change you want to be, to see. Be the change you want to see. How can I live more peacefully and faithfully and intentionally in the midst of all this turbulence? Well, since this is a sermon, you won't be surprised to hear that I got a couple of suggestions for you. First, deepen your faith. Read the Bible every day. Let Jesus, God's living word, be the pattern for your life. Read the Beatitudes. That's Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 13. If you're taking notes, write that down. Read the Beatitudes every day. You know, blessed are the poor in spirit, meaning blessed are those who know their need of God's presence. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who mourn, meaning blessed are those who are not afraid to grieve and not afraid to live into the sadness of life. And there is sadness in this life, but we too often run away from it. Blessed are the pure in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the humble. Blessed are the ones who know they don't know it all. Right? So read the Beatitudes. And let go of being certain that you're right about this or that. And instead practice being reflective. You know, step back for a minute and reflect on what's in front of you. And don't just state your faith, practice it. Be brave. Be humble. Let go of your tribal identity and replace it with a faith identity. Be an unapologetic Christian. Second, love your neighbor. Don't hate on your neighbor. Love your neighbor and stand up for him. Part of what I've been experiencing in the midst of all this turbulence is what we call in the South a lot of bad mouthing. Being super critical of others who have different views or who may have done something you find irritating. I've heard a lot of that lately. And it comes from not only every, and I do mean every corner of the political spectrum. It's in the more everyday parts of our lives too. You know, there's a kind of a tetchiness around, there's another good Southern word for you, tetchy. The kind of a tetchiness in the air, kind of a hypersensitivity that leads to people being cross and unkind to each other. You know, I heard someone just sigh the other day and say, can't we just give each other a little more grace? So love your neighbor and cut them some slack. Third, listen to each other. God alone knows the whole truth, and that means I don't. So if we want to continue to grow in relationships outside of our particular tribes, we need to listen respectfully and actively to other people and to other points of view. That's called sacred listening, and that's the beginning of healing wounds. Your church home, this place, St. Thomas, it's a sacred space. And it's a space where our stories can be shared and our differences held and respected. That's what being a sacred and loving space means. And that's what this place is. It's what this place needs to be. So here's fruit worthy of repentance. Let Jesus be the pattern for your life. You know, it's not really that hard to understand. It's really not. But it's the work of a lifetime to carry out. And love your neighbor and be kind to her. Don't hate on her. And listen to your neighbor. He might have something to teach you. Be brave, say your prayers, and then do whatever it takes, and you'll know what it is to live your life so that you don't look back at the end and say, if only. This is how we live through the turbulence of change. You know, it means dying some small deaths. It means dying the death to our egoic desires. It means dying death to our impulses, to act out in irritation or to turn our frustrations and our irritations inward, which turns into depression. You know, the, oh gosh, I'm just not doing it right. There's something wrong with me. And that's how depression begins. Moving forward through the turbulence, we can fall into the big life, which is life with God. And it's from that place, the place of living life fully and completely, that we'll know that even the death of our physical bodies is just one more small death. When we know we've experienced the stream of life, when we know we've experienced the big life, we can lie on our deathbeds and say, like Francis of Assisi, welcome, Sister Death. I'm not afraid to let go of life because I have life. I am life. I know that life is eternal, so broad and so deep that it can even contain death. And another life, a bigger life, is waiting for me. Amen.
For more information about St. Thomas Episcopal Church, please visit our website, www.stthomasmedina.org. That's www.stthomasmedina.org.